Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a show full of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. And now here is your host, Nicola Beer, who specializes in a proven 10-step program to help couples increase their love, passion, and happiness in their marriage in 30 days or less, guaranteed.
Hi and welcome. I'm thrilled you're listening to this episode because I have a very special couple with me today. Susie and Otto Collins are married soulmates on a mission to share that passion and spark don't have to die. Whether you've been together for 5 years, 5 months, 50 years, they know how to keep that spark, and this is what they're going to be here to talk to us about today. So I'm really, really excited. Since 1999, Susie and Otto have been teaching practical, easy ways to keep the passion alive and keep communication alive. They're communication experts in the relationship industry, so I'm thrilled and excited myself to hear what they're going to show and what they're going to share with us. And they particularly are keen and share about how to stay connected when life throws challenges and how to do that with grace. They have several books. They're the authors of Magic Relationship Works, Stop Talking on Eggshells. I love that title. Should You Stay or Should You Go? No More Jealousy, Relationship Trust Turnaround, and many other programs. They do a Facebook Live every Wednesday from their Facebook page, which is Susie and Otto Collins. So, Susie and Otto, welcome. I'm delighted to have you both on the show with me here.
Oh, thanks, Nicola.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure to be here on your show.
You had what could be called a soulmate experience when you first met together. Could you tell us a bit about that and what you learned from that? Because many of our listeners may have had that soulmate experience and many of them may not have. And so it would be lovely to hear about how you got together and how your experience was.
Oh, sure. We were married to other people. I was married to some guy for 30 years, some guy.
He was married to some other guy.
Yeah. And Otto was married to someone else for 15 years. And
this was before we got together.
Right. Yeah. So we got out of those marriages, and we were part of a spiritual study group. And one night we just decided that, oh, we'd get together and trade energy work. We both do some forms of Reiki and polarity therapy and this kind of thing. So we decided, oh, we're just as friends. There was no attraction.
No big connection or anything like that.
And so we did that. And as sometimes you do after you finish an energy session, you give a hug. Well, we couldn't stop hugging. It was like there was some invisible pull toward each other that we had no idea. So what we did was hug for, I don't know, 3 hours.
Yeah,
something.
I mean,
like
this
that.
Was long before we were doing the work that we're doing now. I was selling advertising for a living, and Susie was still a director of a library at a university. And, you know, we had to get up and go to work the next morning, and here it is. We're just hugging forever and ever.
And it didn't make sense. He's 16 years younger than I am. And it did not make sense what was going on. And there was really nothing sexual about it. It was this soul, our two souls coming together is all I can say. And like you said, a lot of people have had this kind of experience with someone and a lot of people haven't. But what we learned is that this wasn't enough. We had to learn how to do relationships differently, or our relationship would turn out just like our marriages had, and they wouldn't be connected, and they wouldn't have that feeling of spark and love that lasts for years and years.
That's one of the things we find, Nicola, is that people get together in relationship, and they have this belief that you know, having that love is all that they need to take them, you know, to bliss and happiness and perfection, whatever their idea or ideal of that is. And that's just not the case. You have to learn some skills along the way, and you also have to learn how it is that our minds really work, and how it is that the what I call the human experience really works, and how we interpret the world. And it comes through our own thoughts and our own thinking and our beliefs about our thoughts and our thinking. And wow, it really takes more than just having kind of a soulmate experience for you to really connect at a deep soul level and to keep that connection alive and growing.
That's so, so true. And what we see in all these Hollywood movies and in the media and other places and in magazines is that you just need to find the one. You need to find that special person. And once you find that special person, it's love every after. Just like the fairy tales. And obviously, life isn't like that. And actually, once you've found love, and once you've found a person that you're really close to, and that you connect with, it's then about working on the relationship and putting effort into keep the relationship. I remember I had the most stupidest belief in my late teens and 20s when I was in relationships. And that was, if relationships are difficult, that means they're not meant to be. I'm with the wrong person because, you know, relationships shouldn't be that difficult. And I used to be told by friends and family members, oh, if you're arguing, if you're stressed, then, you know, the relationship is bad and the relationship should be easy. And that is just such rubbish. But I didn't know what I know now. And so that's what I used to believe, that actually relationships, if they're hard, if there's a difficult patch, you just leave. And unfortunately, if I look at all my relationships in my teens and in my 20s, that's all I did. Hit a bad point, run. Hit a bad point, oh, I must end it, it's not right. Whereas I probably would have learnt a lot more and grown a lot more had I actually decided to stick it out and work on it. And I know, I wish that everything I know about relationships now we were taught at school, but we weren't. We weren't given this kind of information on how to keep a relationship alive and how to deal with different situations. Now, you've been together for 20 years now, which is amazing. And it's amazing because you've kept that love, you kept that spark together, just listening to you. You can tell there's this love and care and passion between you two. It's really nice to witness. And I would love to know how you've managed to keep the spark alive all of those years. Could you share with the listeners how you've gone about that?
Well, for me, it's keeping the connection alive. And that's where the spark comes from. If I'm allowing the stories that we all have that come through daily life, you know, oh, he isn't acting this way. Oh, he's acting that way. Oh, blah, 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 blah. If I allow those stories to rule me, then I close down to him and the connection's not there. And that's what I think that we've learned is, You can't close down that connection and have a spark, have that sexual, even not sexual, you know, the intimacy that we all crave. You can't do that if there's no connection and if your thoughts about how he's not doing what you think he should be doing rule you.
I think I agree with everything Susie said, and I also think that most people get together in relationship and they want to keep the spark alive, but somewhere along the line when they get together, they have this idea that they can treat their partner any way they want. They can talk to them any way they want. They can spend as much time away from them as they want, and the connection will still be there. And that hasn't been what I found to be true. I think that if you want to have a close connected relationship, then you've got to make it a priority, and you've got to really focus on the relationship. And everybody's idea of a great relationship is going to be different. So what I think is a great relationship is going to be different than, you know, everybody else that will ever listen to this or that's ever been alive. And I think getting clear about what you think is a great relationship and being able to communicate that in a kind, loving, respectful way to your partner, and seeing if that's their idea, and seeing how you can both figure out what, you know, what does he or she want, and what do you want, and then coming to this place of, oh, well, I'd like this, and how can we both get what we want?
And one simple thing that we've done from the beginning of our relationship is when the other person's been away, we go and find that person when they come. When they come home, we find each other and we look at each other and we don't just give a peck on the cheek, but we give an honest kiss, a connecting kiss, and look in each other's eyes. And that gets lost for many couples because life gets in the way. Like Otto said, kids come along, the job, you know, they might have parents who need help, and that gets in the way, or whatever else. But something as simple as just finding each other, even for a few seconds, causes a connection, helps you keep that connection so the spark can be alive.
Some wonderful tips there. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I couldn't agree more. It's about those daily habits. So that kissing that you do and welcome each other, going and finding each other, that's just one of those important daily habits that we all need to do to keep our relationships alive and connected and to keep that spark, to keep that passion. And I love that you mentioned a proper kiss, because sometimes couples, or, you know, me maybe in my own relationship, think, well, I have kissed them, I have greeted them, but not really. It might just be a quick kiss or a quick touch or a quick cuddle, but not anything that's meaningful. So the way you said that was really powerful. And I know that, as well, as I mentioned briefly in the introduction, that you are communication experts and you have that amazing book, Stop Talking on Eggshells, which I think is great. And I know that communication issues, or poor communication in particular, is one of the traps that many couples fall into, and this can then lead for them to be distant and disconnected. So could you share about these communication traps so that we can learn how to avoid them?
One of the keys that happened for us is we had, early in our relationship, we had this question come up, and we've tried to live from this place of, how would you treat somebody that you really loved and you really cared about, and somebody that was a best friend? Because what we see so many times in relationship after relationship is people say they love each other, but they don't treat them with kindness. They don't treat them with love. They don't treat them with respect. I know I was in a situation a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, sometimes people say things just kind of offhand, and maybe they don't even mean it, but it's sort of like whatever they think is out of their mouth before they realize that they've said it. And there was a woman that I was talking to, and she was talking about her husband was going to go get his hair cut later that day. And she kind of flippantly said, you know, to me, because I was standing there, well, my husband so-and-so is going to go get his hair cut, and if he gets it too short, I'm going to just divorce him. Now, of course, she was joking, or I'm not sure why she would have even said that. But to even verbalize that thought, it's like, if I'm her husband and I hear this, that isn't going to make me want to come closer to her and connect with her, and certainly isn't going to make me want to open up in intimate ways to her.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think another trap that people fall into, and that we certainly fell into when we were first together, is believing stories that go on in our heads about the other person, that we think we know what's going on with the other person. And what I had to learn, really, really take it in, was that I really didn't know what was in Otto's head or what was going on for him. I really had to learn to say, can you tell me, help me understand what's going on for you? And to not push him to tell it, you know? If he didn't want to at that time, then I had to make that okay, that it was okay, that he knows that I'm here, that he can talk to me, but I don't know what's going on with him, so don't make up a whole lot of stories in your mind. I mean, that's a big trap that people go through. Well, I know what he's thinking, and I know that it's not good, but you don't. You really don't know.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Susie, about how we don't know anything that the other person is thinking, and we can often make assumptions, not just about what they're thinking, but also why they do things. And we can just get ourselves into so much trouble. If someone's late, oh, they don't care about me. Or they're making us late, that means they don't respect me. Or they didn't ask me how my day was, they couldn't care less about me. When really, it's got nothing to do with that. There's so much going on in their world. And I have to remind myself, it's not all about me. And it's difficult sometimes because we can get fooled into the trap of thinking in close relationships, oh, it's about me. And they're doing this because they're not happy with me, or they don't like me. And it's actually nothing to do with ourselves. So it's a really good point. And thank you for bringing that up. So you've mentioned about, you know, the traps that couples get into in communication. So what's the difference between people that communicate well in relationships, marriages where the communication is good? Would you be able to highlight some of the ways that we can keep that spark alive by communicating differently and share some of the differences for our listeners?
I think for me, I had to learn to stop trying to control, as I talked just a little bit about. It was big for me to just come back into my body and not try to control Otto. Even like how he was driving, and it just came out. You know, it just came out of me. I didn't think. So stopping, first of all, recognizing where you trip yourself up, what your unconscious inclinations are, and then, oh wait, just settling in and not supposing that you have to be in charge of everything. Now, not everybody has this, but I think a lot of women especially have learned this way of being. And we don't have to do that. We can settle back and we can show some trust.
I think that when I think about not just our relationship, but people that are in relationship, one of the keys is people don't realize that other person, you know, your beloved, you know, your mate, they are dramatically different from you. And we mistakenly think that they are like us. We think that they want the same thing we want. They think that, you know, we think that they're just like us, when in reality, they're not. And so the whole key to communication is asking questions from the point of view of curiosity instead of assuming anything. And it's just, it can be something so simple. Like I might ask Susie, well, I'm really curious about this. Can you say more about that?
Instead of jumping into, well, you're wrong. I think that's a common thing that people do. It's like a tug of war that couples get into.
You mean telling each other that you're wrong all the time isn't very good?
No, No, but it's like, because you think your way is the right way. Most of us do. And that's a really big communication trap. And the way not to do that is to, like I said, kind of pull yourself back to recognize, oh, I do that. And then just, it's been a practice for both of us to say, oh, I'm just curious. Could you tell me more about that?
Yeah, in our communication, Nicola, a lot of the time, Susie might say something, and she might be talking about something, and I'll want to be really clear what she's talking about. And I'll say, just so I'm clear about what you're talking about, are you talking about, and I'll name what it is I think, and she'll either say, yes, it is, or no, I'm talking about this other situation. Or maybe she's talking about somebody that she'd met or some meeting she had been in. And I'm just trying to keep the characters straight, you know, of the meeting that she was describing or what went on. And it's not assuming anything and really wanting to connect and really wanting to connect at that heart and soul level.
And I think a big way that couples can connect in that way and have closer intimacy is not making each other wrong. And a phrase that we've used a lot is, what can I learn from you? Because couples have such totally different ways of looking at certain things like money.
You know, and this phrase of, what can I learn from you, that isn't something necessarily that we would say to the other in situations, but that's a way of looking at our differences. So instead of, how can I make you wrong, it's, what can I learn from you? That's the internal conversation that we want to have with ourselves instead of making them wrong.
Right, because, you know, one of our big issues at the beginning was money, because Otto is a spender, so to speak, you know, spend now, worry about it later. And I was a saver, so of course we knocked heads. You know, and being business partners, I mean, and so we really had to come into this place of, okay, how can I learn from you about how you do it? And maybe not doing it either my way or his way, but something in the middle. And I think that's what's happened to us. And all these things can interfere with connection and intimacy.
Absolutely. I think you've mentioned some really, really powerful points there. And relationships are a place where we need to learn, where we can grow from, and I believe that relationships are there to do that, to help us grow, to help us heal things from the past, and money, I think that's such a great lesson that you brought up there, Susie, is that we tend to think that our way of dealing with money is the right way, and it's when we get stuck on this wrong and right way that we lose that connection. So thank you for sharing that. You talk about one game that must be stopped if you want to encourage intimacy and connection. I'm curious to know what that one game is.
It's everybody's favorite game, Nicola. You ready? It's what we call it's the blame game.
Right.
You know, so many times in relationship, we're coming from this place of, if only, how could you? There's a woman that I know really well that has as her default, I mean, almost everything that comes out of her mouth starts with the question of, well, how could they do that? Or how could they think that? Or that's ridiculous. And that's her default. And so many people have a version of that they think about with their partner, their spouse, and also all of the people in their life. And so the blame game of making somebody wrong for being different than you or being just any aspect of being different or blaming somebody for a situation. I know somebody in our world that wants to blame the other person, you know, for something that happened 20 years ago with the house that they moved into. And it's like, wow, you know, when would now be a good time to let that go? Because the blame game, what it does is, especially if it's something from the past, is you continue to blame somebody for something that's happened, and you do that over and over and over again, and you bring all that stuff from the past into the present moment. Now, the present moment's the only place you can ever live. But when you start bringing all that stuff from the past and you're blaming them for things that have happened, or you're blaming them for, it could even be something as simple as something that's not done around the house the way that you might like. Or it could be something much bigger about why your finances, why you don't have retirement savings. But it's the blame game. Is so huge, and almost everybody does it. And that's one of the things that we always work with people on, is how can you see it differently? Instead of blaming and making the other wrong and trying to make yourself right, because there's a level of superiority in all of that.
And there's no growth. Nicola, you mentioned that we are in relationships, which we fully agree, in part so that we'll learn and grow and to be better people, actually. And when you're blaming somebody else, there isn't any growth going on at all. You're not looking at yourself and maybe how you contributed to the situation. And like Otto said, coming into the present moment where there really isn't a problem, that okay, I don't have to relive this over and over again. I can start all over and just be in this moment with my eyes open, but be in this moment.
I think, yeah, we definitely can all get caught in that blame game, and the way you highlight it is really powerful. What can you do if, because I know that there are probably many listeners in relationships where they would love to communicate more, they would love to be able to share what they're feeling and to discuss things with their partner, but their partner has shut down, or they're very distant, or perhaps when they try to bring things up, they get very angry or defensive. How do you get that partner that doesn't listen to open up and to listen more?
If you're in a relationship with somebody, and it doesn't matter what the relationship, but especially in intimate relationships or marriages, if you're with somebody and they're shut down, they're distant, and sometimes it's hard to communicate with them, one of the most difficult things to understand is it's not about you. Now, there may be things that you're doing that causes them to shut down, but a lot of times it's not. Underneath all of that, if somebody shuts down and somebody withdraws, underneath all of that, there is a feeling or a belief within that person that it's not safe for me to say what I think. It's not safe for me to open to this person. It's not safe, and I don't mean safety as in physical abuse or anything like that, although that could be possible in extreme situations. But that person has to feel safe to be able to open to you. And in some relationships, it may have to do with the way that the two of you are in relationship, but it could just be the way that they learned about relationship. It could be situations they brought into the present moment from previous relationships that they just naturally assumed that all relationships were going to be a certain way. And so they learned that when somebody says or does X, then that's a cue or a clue for them to shut down, when it may not be. So The number one thing I would say that if you want to get a partner to open to you is you open and you stay open to that person, even if it's a difficult moment.
Yeah, I think, and Otto, I'm going to tell a little bit about you if it's all right.
Depends on what you're going to say.
When we were first together, and some years into it, Otto, his first wife, was controlling, and Otto had it in his mind that he couldn't say what he couldn't have an opinion. He couldn't say what it was that he wanted.
Well, again, this is my perception. So,
right.
Again, we're talking about somebody else that that's going to have a belief or something. We can't know what my ex-wife did or didn't say or think.
Exactly. This is your perception.
It's my perception.
So he would close down to me, and I didn't think I was doing anything. And the only thing that I did was what Otto did was just stay open to him. And when he, you know, and I would be what we call an invitation to him. When he felt like he could talk or wanted to talk, I was there for him. And I didn't argue with him. At least, you know, after a while, I stopped arguing.
You learned.
Why, yeah, I learned. But it's by just being present to the person and open. And if you want to talk, I'm here. And leaving it at that. Because I remember with my ex-husband, I would claw at him, as I said, for him to open. And that never worked. And I just learned to just love him, just love Otto, and Otto felt that love. And is that true? Is that how you opened?
Yeah, and as I felt safe with Susie that I could say or just be who I am, then that's the secret to it.
That I wasn't going to tell you you're wrong for thinking or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow. That is really interesting, and most people probably would do the opposite, or they do the opposite. They think, well, they're shutting down, so I'm going to shut down. They're withdrawing, so I'll withdraw myself. And actually, we need to stay present in the opposite. So thank you for sharing that. I'd love to hear about how we can how you work with people, and about your books, and how and where people can contact you.
The best place that they can contact us would be at our main website, which is susieandotto.com. That's SusieAndOtto.com. Susie and I have written quite a few books together, books, courses, programs. Our most popular over the years has been a book on communication called Magic Relationship Words. It's actually a book and program. We created something because we've been talking in this conversation a lot about communication. We have a book and audio program called Stop Talking on Eggshells that's been very popular. And for people who are living with the question of whether to stay in or leave a relationship, our book and audio program, Should You Stay or Should You Go, has been popular for the last 15 years after we came out with that program. And I've been working on a brand new project that's about to be released on very near June the 1st. And it's a project that is for men. And it's actually to help men in healing relationships with their father or their son. I wrote a book that's going to be released called Preaching to Monkeys. It's hope, healing, and understanding for fathers, sons, and the people who love them. And the reason I wrote the book is because for men, a relationship with a father or a son seems to be one of those stuck places where they just get stuck in this relationship that is painful. They don't know what to do. A lot of times they're distant or estranged, and that plays into every other aspect of a man's life, especially in his relationship with his wife, girlfriend, or even everybody else in his life as well.
We'd love to offer our free ebook, Relationship Reverse, right now. It's on SusieAndOtto.com. So if your listeners just go there and get the free ebook, we give a lot of communication tips in there.
Great. Thank you. I'm sure that'd be really valuable. And also, I just want to say that I think that's truly amazing, the work that you do there. I know several women that help women with the mother-daughter relationship, and yes, it has an impact on every area of their life, and you're the first person I've heard of and come across that actually does that for men in the father-son relationship. So will that be on the main website as well? Will people be able to find out details of that on your main website, or how can they find
yes.
you?
Yes, it'll be on our main website, SusieAndOtto.com, and you'll also be able to find it on Amazon and other retailers everywhere.
Brilliant. Well, it's been such a pleasure having you on the show. That's all we've got time for at the moment. So thank you so much.
You are certainly welcome. Thanks for having us. It's been our pleasure.
Thanks, Nicola. We love being on your show.
You're so welcome. And for all our listeners today, thank you for listening in. And if you have any questions for me at all, then you can reach me at www.nicolabeer.com. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful week ahead.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free Save My Marriage consultation, please visit www.savemymarriageprogram.com/consult. And if you've enjoyed this episode, Nicola would really appreciate it if you could leave a rating and review on whatever app you're listening through, so the show stays visible, allowing more people to get the support they need to increase their love, passion, and happiness.